So, this morning, Be'ez Hashem, we begin the 10th Shar in the Chayvus of Avavus, Shar Avas Hashem. The Shar, the entranceway to learn how to love the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And as an introduction to this, the Chayvus of Avavus says, I precisely place this subject at the end of the Sefer, and I precisely placed it after Shara Pishus, because it is impossible to love the Rabbeinu Shel Olam until a person has been poreish, separates himself from the love of this world and all the ambitions and desires. It's absolutely impossible to have a heart filled with love for Hashem if we still love this world. That God's biggest rival, the Rabbeinu Shlomo's biggest competitor, the Rabbeinu Shlomo's competitor is love for Olam Hazeh. So as long as we still want to pamper ourselves in this world, we cannot possibly say we love doing the will of Hashem. So now that we've gotten the world out of the way, we've gotten rid of the distraction of Olam Hazeh, now we can talk about Avas Hashem. So, and to the extent that we still love Olam Hazeh, we know for sure that we have no shaifas to Avas Hashem. So let us never fool ourselves. We shouldn't fool ourselves to think that we love Hashem as long as we still have plenty, plenty, plenty of desires for Olam Hazeh. We can be sure that what we think is love for Hashem is not love for Hashem, is just not, it's nothing. It's not love for Hashem. It's just it's a nice thought. We'd love to love Hashem, just like everyone would love to love their wives. It doesn't mean they really love their wives. They'd love to be in love. People would love to be in love, but they're not necessarily in love. They like the idea of love. It makes sense. We'd love to love Torah. We don't love Torah because we love a lot of other things, and we'd rather read the Times today than learn Torah. So we love Torah, but we'd rather watch a television show, rather watch a video. So, the idea of loving Torah is very exciting, and we'd love to be there, but we're not. So to love for Hashem, to the extent we love this world, we know for sure that we don't have love for Hashem in our heart over there. Well, that's what we'll discuss, maybe. We'll see. He has a long shahr here. He'll tell us everything he knows about the subject. But that's his general introduction. And the truth of the matter is, he says that the love of Hashem is the thrust of Kol Torah Kula. That everything I've told you about in this whole Sefer called Chayvus HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart, was to get you to love the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And therefore, we say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Listen, Israel, hear Israel, Hashem is our God. Hashem is the one only. And right after that, we have Yahavtes Hashem Elokecha, which means that the whole purpose of knowing about Hashem is to love Hashem. So if we really believe in Hashem, that should lead us to love for Hashem. If it doesn't lead us to love for Hashem, then our faith is wanting. So we'll say, well, I don't love Hashem, but I believe in God. I believe in God. I don't love God. I love other things too. And, you know, God's one of the things. I like God. I certainly like Him. Not always. I mean, sometimes I don't like Him so much. And sometimes I like criticism. But I like God generally, like I like other people. It's on and off. But I believe in God. No. After Shema Yisrael, if you really believe in God, that Hashem is one, it was real belief that there's only one God, and God is running everything in the world, and that I am just a fragment of God. So if you really believe in God, you have to love God. Right away after Shema Yisrael, it says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, you should love Hashem, your God, with all your heart. True faith brings to real love. It has to be that mana. Love for God means that we stick to Him, and it's not moments. We can't betray God 1 minute and then come back to God. A marriage, you know, you have to stick to your wife. Your wife has to stick to you. You can have moments. You can have extramarital affairs. You have to be once, And therefore the pasuk says in Dvarim Lamed, Li'ava Sednoi Lehecha Lishmoi Bekoiloi, to love Hashem your God is to listen to Him. Uladavka Ba, you have to cling to Him, stick to Him all the time. You can't have moments in and out. Love, by definition, is loyalty, constancy, and consistency. She'tiya avasi l'Hashem ne'mona u'b'leiv sholim. Has to be loyal, can't betray Him, and has to be the full heart. And it says in Mishnah, v'yesh oyev dovek me'och. There's a friend who you love, who is closer to you than your own brother. So you can have a brother, a flesh relative, you don't love so much. Flesh relationship doesn't mean you really love them. And parents even don't necessarily love their children. It's instinctive, you know, all bears will kill for to protect their cubs. And snakes will protect their eggs. And every creature in the world has an instinct to protect its offspring. That's not necessarily love. Yesh oyev davik miyach, says Shlomo HaMelech, there's love of people, or that's developed, a developed love can be much more meaningful than brotherhood of a brother who's a blood brother. This is your blood brother. Plenty of brothers kill each other. I think I heard such a story once about Cain and Hevel. It's a scandal. The name Cain and Hevel. Cain killed Abel. So it's as old as the world that a brother can kill his brother. And that means that love has to be developed. A developed love is much more than an instinctive blood relationship. So he says, now you should understand that the Torah itself, we know there's two different ways to have a relationship with Hashem. There's yira and there's ahava. There's fear and there's love. Fear, he says, really is hasayif ba'akotza achron shel precious. Everything we learned in the ninth chapter till this week, which we spent, I think, a half a year, over half a year on Shahar Pishas. The ultimate of separation from this world culminates in fear from Hashem. In that, I fear lest there be something which will interfere with my relationship with the Rebbe Hashem. That's fear. There's a mashal, there's a very beautiful mashal. There's a sefer called Bikvas Hayira. Bikvas Hayira means in the footsteps of fear. It was written by Rabbi Avram Kaplan, who was a big Eloi, big Talmud Chacham, and the last few years of his life was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Hildesheim Seminar in Berlin. But he was educated in Litvish Yeshivas, and he wrote a book called Bikvas Hayira, a sefer. And unfortunately, he died suddenly at the age of 34. He was learning and suddenly he got a stroke or something burst in his brain. He's died. And the only legacy we really have from him, he died in, I believe, in the 1920s, a long time ago. But actually, he lived in Telz and he learned Slabodka. He was a product of the Litvish Yeshivas. But he was a very brilliant and charismatic person, and he went therefore to the Hildesheim Shem Seminar, I think after Rav David Hoffman, who was the previous Rosh Yeshiva, died. And he took over, and he writes there in the Bikvas Hayira his beautiful mashal, what Yiras Hashem really means. He says, Yira, fear of God, really means, the mashal is like a father who is dancing on Simchas Torah. So imagine a father is dancing on Simchas Torah with his little 2-year-old son on his shoulders. Now, he loves the son very much, but the more he loves the son, and the more he dances with his son, and they're sharing such a meaningful event, the more he's afraid that he might slip, and perhaps, if he slips, chas v'shalom, or he loses his grip, his beloved little 2-year-old toddler will fall off his shoulders and get hurt. Or worse, chas v'shalom. So the more he loves his toddler, the more he's afraid that something shouldn't happen to hurt that which he loves. So what he's saying over here is that Yira, Precious, is that in order that a relationship with Hashem should be loyal. To have Avas Hashem, you have to have Precious first. And the ultimate Precious is Yira. Yira means I have to be very wary of Olam Hazeh, because I can't trust myself. Here I was in Shulay Davening, Gavaldik, and Davening, and maybe I'll go home and I see that video on the table. After all the davening and all the learning Shar Avas Hashem in the morning, I'll see that video just sitting there and I can't help myself and I'm going to watch it. So I know if I do that, it's going to mess up my relationship with Hashem. I was on such a high madriga. I'll be like just a prostrate guy watching videos again. I'll be out there while going to a baseball game again. So in order that the Avas is meaningful, if you really love somebody or you love something, you want to protect the relationship. You don't want Chas v'Shalom to be destroyed or hurt. So you have to have Precious, he says, and Precious is Yira, a fear that some other love might contaminate and destroy my love for Hashem. So the highest Madrega of Precious is Yira. And Yira means, I don't want anything to make me disloyal to the Rebbeinu Shlom. But there's a lot of things that could make me disloyal so easily. So easily. So I was avoiding the internet for a long time. I'm still avoiding the internet, but I needed to get email. So in order to share Divrei Torah with my son, we're working on something together. So I had to have email, but email is dangerous because email comes with internet. So I have Juno, which it doesn't necessarily have internet. I don't know. They tell me Juno is free and. So a fellow came to my house the other day to hook me up to Juno, but it was warning me how not to get hooked up to the internet by pressing the wrong thing. And then he told me how easy it is to get into trouble. I wish he wouldn't have told me how easy it is to get into trouble. Wow, it's really easy. I'm really getting into trouble. But you know what? Now that I know how to get into trouble, I'm really curious to know how to get into trouble. So it's very dangerous. So here I'm hooked up to the internet in order to share Divrei Torah with my son there. It's Israel. I have such a high love for my son and love for Torah. But there's always the internet lurking over there. So I gotta do something to protect myself. So the love doesn't mean anything if I don't protect it. It's baloney. It's empty words. To say, I love Hashem, but my life is hefker, wide open to anything that might interfere with the love for Hashem. It's Narishkeit. I love learning. I love looking at Svarim Lach and looking at every Torah, but my life is hefker because my head is open to all kinds of shtus vehevel and filth and contamination. So Zok the Chayav Levavis Yira Hasoif VaKotze HaAchrayin Shel Precious VaMadrega Krayv VeYoyser VaMadrega Zavis Lekin. Fear is the highest, is the end of Precious and the beginning. The closest thing to beginning to have a love relationship with Hashem. But any relationship which I'm not afraid will terminate is not really love. If I'm cavalier about it. I love my wife, but you know, I can always replace her, get a divorce, and I can find someone better. I love her very much, but you know, she can be replaced. This is not love. That's not love. And you say, I love this yeshiva, but I can always switch out another, I can always find another yeshiva, I can always find another kailo, I can find another rav, I can find another shul. You don't love them. That's not love. By definitions of Chavis Levavis, you don't love something unless you're afraid, really care that the relationship shouldn't be terminated. If you're cavalier, I like him very much, but you know, okay, it doesn't work out, I'll find something else. That is not love. It's a wonderful definition of love. Yev Shalodom Lagi Alavas Hashem. You can't come to a level saying you love God. Unless you're really afraid that Hashem might reject you, reject me, reject us because of our actions. If we're not really afraid, if we might do something to turn God off, so to speak, then we're not turned on. It's not turned on. Everybody would like to have, everybody wants to have love. Everyone wishes they could love. Everyone's looking to love something. But things are misplaced. There is a need of love in the world. We all want love. You know, the Brisker Rav was once walking with one of his Talmidim in Yerushalayim about 50 years ago, maybe 55. And they're walking in Yerushalayim. this was like, you know, it was attacking around 1948, 1949. And the Bris grew up, they were walking at night, taking a walk, he used to take walks for his health. And he used to take his Talmidim with him. And they passed by a place which was all lit up, and neon signs flashing, and real gaudy, and there was something very uncommon in Yerushalayim in those days, to have these flashing neon signs. So he asked his Talmud, what's flashing over here? He said, oh, this is a palm reader, a psychic. And the psychic tells you your fortune with a, and it has a crystal ball. The psychic has a crystal ball. It's a fortune teller and a psychic, and it reads palms and it tells you the future and it reads tarot cards. All the good zachim. So the Talmud says to the Bris Rav, you know, it's really amazing. He says, it's really amazing. Here these people, they claim to be very secular, and they don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe in the Rabbi Shalom. They claim to be secular Jews, these people here, Nebuch and Yerushalayim. These are the secular people. They don't believe in the Rabbi Shalom. They're scientific. They're very rational. And yet, look at the belief they have in this Irish guy. They believe in crystal balls, palm readers, mind readers, psychics, and tarot cards. So these fancy people they don't want to believe in occult, secret, spiritual things. Boy, they sure have a lot of belief in this occult. So the Bris Rav told them, there's no kasha at all. It's not a kasha. The Rabbi Shalom put into every human being emotions, feelings, characteristics, and these characteristics yearn to be used and exercised. Hashem put in everybody belief, blind faith. Hashem put in human beings the ability to have blind faith, which defies logic. And it's not rational. I believe in something I don't even see. There's a midah of faith, and this midah, this characteristic, is yearning to be fulfilled. Hashem gave us a Torah to teach us how to channel our blind faith to Him. But if we do not follow the Torah's directions, how to channel blind faith in the proper direction, the blind faith is yearning to be exercised. So it will be channeled in another area, which is false, but it's going to be used. We must believe in something. And we will believe in their lives or something. So they'll have a false nationalism and a false patriotism. They'll give their life for that. Or they'll give their life for something else, for a witchcraft. And people will follow and drink Kool-Aid and die because what the fellow's name tells them to drink the Kool-Aid. It's Jim Jones, whatever people look at. Mesiras Nefesh. There is a Mesiras Nefesh. We all have it within us. A sense of self-sacrifice. I want to live for something bigger than me. I'd like to sacrifice my life for something bigger than myself. If we channel it right, we'll sacrifice our lives for God. If not, we'll waste our lives for false ideals. And love too. Everyone has love. We all want to love. Hashem put within us, we want to love. We exercise love right. We'll love the Rabbeinu Shlalom. We'll love the things that God loves. We'll love the family and the children and those we should love. But if we don't use our love properly, we'll find something else to love. We'll find something else to love. We must love something. So, if you live in Manhattan, you can love your poodle. And you can put your poodle in a daycare center every day. So a daycare center for the poodles, of course. And that's after you get the poodle permanent, goes to the beauty parlor. But now they even have a dating service of poodles in Manhattan. In case your poodle is lonely, so they have male, they have shatchanim to make shaduchim your poodle, the male poodle with the female poodle. But of course the female poodle has to first go to the beauty, that's not joking, and has to go to the beauty parlor first. And she's on a diet, she shouldn't, fifty shouldn't look too ugly for Fievel, the male over there. So make a shit of Fievel and fifty. And people spend loads of money. There's even, I'm not joking, I read it somewhere. There's a restaurant where they can meet. They have dog restaurants. Yeah, yeah. There's a dog restaurant, they can have a date. And they can treff. And of course, if Chas v'Shalom Fievel will reject fifty and she goes into a depression, there's dog psychiatrists. I mean, that's pashut. I don't know if they give a Prozac. I'm not sure exactly what's popular about the dogs today. because you know, the people who feed me my the clippings from the New York Times haven't given me the latest clipping on that one. But the kids are dog restaurants, exercise spas, a joke, dating systems, I mean, air conditioned, of course, dog houses, that's up your head. Well, there was something else they do. We're very interested. I forgot. Daycare. Yeah, there's some other exaggerations. So if you don't love your husband, you don't love your wife, you don't love your children, you love your dog. And you don't love your dog. So you love Yasser Arafat. You love Rishoyim. You love John Gotti. You love, he had a big Levaya yesterday. He had a big Levaya. But his mother was Jewish. Okay. No. Is that? No. Come on. Okay, let's not ruin it all. Please. I can't handle that too early in the morning. Anyway, if you don't love what you're supposed to love, you'll love something else. You don't love Tyra, you'll love the New York Times. You'll find something to read. You'll find something to keep you busy. You'll love baseball. You'll love the Yankees. You'll love something. You'll do something. Everyone loves to be part of a rally. You don't love going down to say Tillum for Klal Yisrael. You go to a Yankee game. You'll find something you're excited about. You want to be excited. People want to be excited. If you're not excited about simple Tyra about dancing, if you're not excited about simple Hassan Kala to dance, you'll find other things to dance for. Not the right things to dance for. It's Muzayn. So therefore, says the Chovetz Chaim, if you want to love the Rabbanei Shlom, you have to get rid of other loves. Because you're going to love something. You have to be afraid that another love shouldn't interfere with your love for the Rabbanei Shlom. Because he repeats himself again, it's impossible to have love for Hashem in our heart as long as there's still a love in our heart for anything of Olam Hazeh. And only when our heart is rake, only when the heart is absolutely empty, rake, empty, then uponim itavoysav, a heart is completely cleaned out of yearning and lust for Olam Hazeh, this world, which comes. I can't do that. Only from thinking about it. You're running a business. So everyone's cutting their employees today. Everyone's to cut costs, right? So, you're running a business. You're not going to keep dead weight. People are not earning. So IBM knocks out in one day 10,000 workers. And they close down factories, and Ford closes down factories, and Chrysler, they cut out middle management, and they'll cut out the fat, and they cut out. Because the doctors is the bottom line. The doctors is you have to have a profit. And if there's no profit, you cut it out, you get rid of it. So when a person realizes there's no profit and there's no gain from wasting our time to get the pleasures of Olam Hazeh, if my bottom line is to get to Olam Haba, my bottom line is to cling to God, which is Olam Haba, and the prelude to cling to God in the next world where there is no distraction, is to cling to God in this world where there are distractions and overcome them. So you got to fire all these distractions. You just got to cut it out. I know it's extreme. 10,000 workers. What can I do? Pink slips. Got to close down factories. No problem. Pink slips. Got to change my whole life. Got to change the whole product line. Got to get something new for Ford. Some new car. Got to get something that people are going to love. Got to change the whole image of the company. Whatever it takes. We can't go bankrupt. So we realize that Olam Hazeh is bankrupting us. Olam Hazeh is bankrupting us. Olam Hazeh is eating away at our profits. Olam Hazeh is destroying the purpose while we're here. It's distracting us. So you got to do what you got to do. You have to just clean out, fire Olam Hazeh. Just throw them out. Throw the bums out. And let's clean up house over here. Get rid of them. Too bad. Because, only getting rid of Olam Hazeh with Seichel. If we think it's still great, we really think Olam Hazeh is our best friend, but I'll make the sacrifice for God, it's not going to work. If we really think Olam Hazeh is the best thing, I love it. But if a person literally can say, you know what, that's it. No more ice cream for the rest of my life. I will never eat ice cream again. Never. It's a good start. Not eating ice cream because how can I have such an obsession with ice cream? Especially chocolate ice cream. Chocolate ice cream. With the little chocolate chip chipilach inside. You know what? I love it too much. It's going to take me away from ice cream. You know what? In order to begin my quest to fire, to clean out the house, I know that the love for this ice cream is in my way. I know that the place left over my heart. It's like the famous story, the Chofetz Chaim would say, the famous story, we all know the story about the fellow who was running away from the Spanish Inquisition. He's on a ship, and the ship wrecks, and he's lost on a desert island. And meanwhile, on the ship, he lost his wife, he lost his children, and he had nothing left, and he was shipwrecked, and he was naked and ragged on a desert island. And he turns his eyes to the Rabbanu Shalom, instead of being angry at the Rabbanu, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, I know you're testing me, but you know what? You took away my wife, you took away my children, you took away my possessions, took away everything. Those are the things I love in this world. I'm taking that love that I had for them, it's an extreme level, and now I'm dedicating even that love to you, Rabbanu Shalom. Instead of being angry at you, I realize it's a test, but just the opposite. The love I had for them, I'm going to now, even that I'm giving to you. Everything is for you. Before I had in my heart some other loves. And therefore the emphasis is, without belaboring the point, that even we love our wives and children, we love them all, it has to be, I love them because they are a manifestation of how good Hashem is to me, and I love them because they're gifts from God. Anybody can love their wife and children. Goyim love them too, and bears and lions love their offspring also. But a person who loves Hashem is to say, I love my children because they're a gift from God. I love because it shows how much Hashem loves me and trusts me. That Hashem trusted me with the chinuch. Hashem said, you know, I'm going to give you a child. I love you so much. Here's a child. Bring him up Jewish. Bring him up a Tyredic. I trust you. I want you. I'm giving you a very important job, Mr. Father, Mr. Mother. You are going to get Yiddish a kindlach, and I'm trusting you to bring them up the way I want to be servants of God. Thank you, Hashem, for this privilege. I love you, Hashem. I love my children because I know you want me to love them, and you want me to shower your love in them. And I'll teach them what it means to love, and I'll give them fatherly love to teach them what their Father in Heaven loves them. But everything, even the love of children and wives, is an expression of Avas Hashem. There's no other loves in the heart. There's no other loves. Every love brings us to the Rabbanu Shalom. So it has to be a love of Hashem mitach hakara bina. If we feel that we're being deprived, I'll give up the ice cream because it's a sacrifice. It's such a hard thing to do. It has to come from, no, who wants to, if I'm not going to be so meshuggah about this ice cream, whatever taiva I have, this addiction I have, the cigarettes, whatever I'm addicted to, this gambling, whatever I'm addicted to, whatever, I'm giving it up because I want to have more room to love Hashem. And this is the fearing. And I'm not losing anything. There's only so much love a person can have. Hashem put in every person 100 tons of love. And either you allocate it all to Hashem, or you split it up in little pieces and squander it on little narishkeit. To the extent it's squandered on all kinds of other little trivia, that amount of love that's put into every human being, that emotion is squandered on other things. There's nothing left for God. There's nothing left for the Rabbanu Shalom. He says first you have to clean out other desires, other yearnings, other ambitions, other lusts. And then when we're clean from everything else with understanding, then we can have avas habore b'libeinu. It'll be takua b'nafshenu. But not just in the heart. It'll be takua, it'll be planted deeply in the core of our nefesh, of our spirit, of our soul. It won't be something peripheral, it won't be lip service, it'll be something that mamishes, penetrating deeper into our core, tokua b'nafshenu, v'etem l'tshuka sheishtonu elov, v'etem l'asaga sheishtonu akadlusov. Of course, you can't love what you don't know. So we also have to study more about Hashem. We have to think about Hashem, how great. We have to study the world, and study science, and study nature, and see what a beautiful world Hashem made for us, and study history, and see how Hashem runs the world in such an amazing way, and study how divine providence has guided and guarded the Jewish people for thousands of years, and guarded my family and guarded myself individually. So you can't love what we don't know. So the more we study about God, the Rabbanu Shalom, the more we love Him. Like it says, Af oirach mishpatecha Adonai kivinucha l'shimcha ulezichcha taivas nefesh, which means he says, Nabi Yeshaya says, Af oirach mishpatecha Hashem kivinucha. He says, the more I go, Hashem, in the way of your mishpatim, in the way of your laws and dictates, then kivinucha, to the more I know about your Torah and about your teachings, about your mishpatim, the more I yearn for you, kivinucha, I hope for you and yearn for you, l'shimcha ulezichrcha tavas nafesh, and then for your name and for your remembrance, my soul is yearning as a taiva. I lust for the Rabbanu Shalom. to lust for their Bnei Shem, to have as much of a geschmack, to run, open up a sitter, to run, open up a safer, as much as we run to the refrigerator, and run to the cupboard, and run to the internet, that's called Avas Hashem. But you have to know more about their Bnei Shem. We're ignorant of their Bnei Shem. We know what chocolate tastes like, and we know what tithes tastes like, but we know very little about their Bnei Shem. We're ignorant about God. So how can I yearn, but I don't know about it? I never tasted it. So that's why the Bnei Shem gives us free samples. Anybody wants to sell new chocolate, gives us free samples. The Bnei Shem gives us free samples. He's always throwing samples. No shine, I gave you samples already. We've had a lot of free samples. The problem is we became jaded already. We had so many free samples that already so the Bnei Shem, then it makes it a little harder for us. Because if the free samples don't work, we take it for granted, it doesn't mean anything. So therefore, says the Chavos Lubavitch, you have to study, you have to work to understand the Bnei Shem. And the more we know about his greatness and his goodness and his kindness and his love for us, to that extent we will want to love him and rid ourselves of distractions. Stop here, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanai, Rabbi Kasha, Rabbi Zagadish, 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 Rabbi